Sahagana Lalita Shivisha Kanvitangscha. He Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. So we are studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, the song of God, as is given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are currently studying Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute. This Chapter 7 begins the middle six chapters, which Srila Prabhupada says are the most important chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. The first six and last six chapters are protective coverings for this middle six, which deals with the most confidential knowledge, the knowledge of pure Krishna consciousness. So we have left off on text number 11, and I will ask everyone to repeat after me, text number. But first, let's chant. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 11. Please repeat. Balang Balabatang Chahang. Kamaraga Vivarjitam. Dharma Virudho Bhuteshu. Kamosmi Bharatarshava. Synonyms for each of the words. Balam, strength. Balavatam, of the strong. Cha, and. Aham, I am. Kama, passion. Raga, and attachment. Vivarjitam, devoid of. Dharma aviruddha, not against religious principles. Bhuteshu, in all beings. Kama, sex life. Asmi, I am. Bharata Rishabha, O Lord of the Bharatas. Translation, if you would kindly respond. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. So, yes, the strength of the strong, but devoid of passion and desire. In other words, yes, you can exhibit your strength, your power, but it has to be done for the right, just, moral cause, not for your sense gratification. And then sex life. Sex life is not denied. There has to be procreation, and that is its usage. Modern man, Kali Yuga man and woman, want to use sex life for enjoyment. But that is not religious principles. Religious principles dictates, yes, sex life for the purpose of creating a child. Otherwise, no sex life. Sex life, according to religious principles, means a husband and wife want to, they are desiring to bring about a child. That is its only purpose, not sense gratification. Trying to enjoy sense gratification through sex life is demoniac, is sinful, and as a result, one will become degraded. As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Naishtika Brahmachari, he said, I am prepared to have sex 100 times if it is done according properly to religious principles to produce Krishna-conscious children. That was the idea. There's nothing wrong with sex, but what's wrong is illicit sex. Sex which is for the purpose of sense gratification, enjoying the senses. Let us look at Prabhupada's purport, and we welcome back Bhishma Pita. Welcome back, Hari Bol. I was thinking of you for the last 5 minutes. Very good. Jai. Jai Krishna Das. Purport. The strong man's strength should be applied to protect the weak, not for personal aggression. Similarly, sex life, according to religious principles, dharma, should be for the propagation of children, not otherwise. The responsibility of parents is then to make their offspring Krishna conscious. We see, if you look at Lord Rishabhadev in the 5th canto, Lord Rishabhadev is an incarnation of Krishna. He's Vasudev. Everyone say that name? Vasudev. So in the 5th canto, there are several chapters which deal with Rishabhadev. And one chapter is his instructions to his 100 children headed by Bharat. Bharat Maharaj, who achieved perfection within 3 lifetimes. Bharat Maharaj, then the deer, and then Jada Bharat, and then complete perfection. So Rishabhadev was instructing his 100 sons, and one of those instructions was, one should not become a parent, one should not become a teacher or a guru, or even a demigod, unless you can guarantee the liberation of your dependent. So yes, Bhakti Siddhanta was saying, I am prepared to have 100 children, provided I can deliver them from this cycle of birth and death. So becoming a parent is a very heavy responsibility. Very heavy responsibility, because it is the parent's duty to bring the children up in such a way that this is the last birth for their children. That this is the last time they have to reincarnate. And the way to do that is to teach them how to become pure Krishna conscious devotees. Easily centered around studying Bhagavad Gita, practicing Bhagavad Gita, living Bhagavad Gita, following the most important final instruction of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo, Moksha Yeshima Suchaha, which means one should chant incessantly the holy name of God. Haranama, Haranama, Haranama Iva Kevalam Kalo, Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatyaranyata. Therefore, we incessantly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now, the next few verses are going to deal with the 3 modes of material nature. So these next 3 verses are very significant, especially text number 14. So let's study now text number 12. Please repeat. Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye mata eveti tan vidhi nat vahang teshu te mayi. Now we look at the synonyms. Ye, all which. Cha, and. Eva, certainly. Sattvika, in goodness. Bhava, states of being. Rajasa, in the mode of passion. Tamasa, in the mode of ignorance. Cha, also. Ye, all which, matak, from me, eva, certainly, iti, thus, tan, those, vidhi, try to know, na, not, tu, but, aham, I, teshu, in them, te, they, mayi, in me. Translation, please repeat. Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am, in one sense, everything. But I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature. For they, on the contrary, are within me. So earlier in this chapter, in verse 7, there was a very, very heavy and most prominent verse. Matak parataram nanyat. In verse number 7 in this chapter, Krishna established himself as the Supreme. And there's nobody above him. That was a very significant verse. Krishna clearly said, there's nobody equal to me, there's nobody above me. Asamarva. So here, he continues to give us a more broader outlook. All states of being. Now there's only three states of being, goodness, passion, or ignorance. Yes, there's combinations of those, but these are the three basic colors. Just like when you paint, there are three basic colors. And you mix these three basic colors and you get all kinds of hues. So there are only three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But Krishna is saying, this is coming from me, it's my energy. So Krishna is then saying, in terms of the material world, everything you see actually is me. This was the same thing Krishna told the gopis when they met at Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. Krishna was philosophically reminding the gopis, there is no such thing as separation. Because everything you see, everything you touch, everything in existence should remind you of me, because it's coming from me, it's not coming somewhere else. So there is no such thing as separation, because wherever you look, it's Krishna. It's just a question of remembering. Maya is defined as that hallucinatory state or an imagined state of existence by which one thinks, oh, this is not Krishna. There is no Krishna. That's Maya. Just like, say for instance, Praveena. We'll just say, I'm not saying, just saying. Say Praveena goes into her room and says, okay, I'm going to close the door. Now mommy and daddy can't see what I'm doing. All right? But whose house is she in? She's in your house. So she may think that she can do something, but she's under your house. There is no, she's here. It's your house. So similarly, we think that we can do something and there's not going to be any reaction. But no, Krishna's energy is all pervasive. I may think that there's something separate that's not Krishna, but that's an illusion. That's a dream. Everything is under Krishna. So he's saying here, I am in one sense everything. Now, the next thing he says, but I'm independent. So yes, everything is Krishna, but he still has his own separate identity. Not that pantheism, oh, everything is God, and therefore there is no separate existence of God, so we'll worship everything. We'll worship this bottle of water because this is God. No, this is the energy of God, but God also has his separate existence. As he says here, I am independent. Then the next thing, very important, I am not under the modes of material nature. If Krishna was under the modes of material nature, then we would waste our time studying Bhagavad Gita. And that would negate Krishna being supreme. If Krishna was under the modes of material nature, then the modes of material nature would be supreme because he would be under their influence. That's why I'm saying this verse ties in with verse number 7 of this chapter. He's clearly establishing his superior, unique position. You and I, we're under the modes of nature, unless you are a self-realized pure devotee. But until you're a self-realized pure devotee, you are going to be affected by the modes of material nature. And you can't fake it. And we get to chapter 14. Krishna says, because Arjuna asked the question, how do I transcend the modes of nature? And Krishna is very clear. You have to engage in bhakti yoga 24/7, 365, 100. That's it. There's no other loophole. Unless you're 100% engaged in devotional service, because that's what it means to surrender to Krishna. To surrender to Krishna is not some lip service. Oh, guy, I surrender. No. Surrender to Krishna means put your money where your mouth is. Do devotional service 24/7, 365, and no vacation. Not that I do devotional service, but then I take a day off to go to Las Vegas. No. Going to Las Vegas means you're entering Tamodwaram, the gates of ignorance. So, surrender to Krishna is scientific. Are you 100% always engaged in bhakti yoga? 9 different kinds. Hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving, worshiping, befriending, surrendering everything, constant, all everything you have. When you are 100%, yes. So Krishna is saying, I am not under the modes of material nature. And Lord Chaitanya reminds us that if you think that when Krishna comes to this earth and that he comes under the modes of material nature, you're an atheist. Lord Chaitanya says you're a Pashandi. And there's no greater offender. Never can we think, oh, when the avatar, when Krishna comes, he becomes affected by the modes of nature. No. But does that include the rasa dance? Yes. Don't think that that rasa dance, Krishna was under, like we read in the previous verse, under kama. No. The rasa dance is a completely spiritual, transcendental activity. And so are the gopis. So Krishna may dance the rasa lila, he does not become affected. Neither do the gopis. We imitate Krishna, yeah. We'll get walloped by the modes of nature, for sure. As Prabhupada used to say, people want to imitate Krishna's rasa lila. That's as ludicrous as somebody trying to imitate Lord Shiva drinking an ocean of poison. Can you do it? Even you take one drop of poison, finished. But Lord Shiva drank a whole ocean, kept it in his throat. Did he die? No. So one cannot imitate the position of Krishna. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. They're coming from him. Okay, let's see what Prabhupada says in his purport. Srila Prabhupada ki. All material activities in the world are being conducted under the three modes of material nature. Although these material modes of nature are emanations from the Supreme Lord, what's his name? Krishna. He is not subject to them. For instance, under the state laws, one may be punished, but the king, the lawmaker, is not subject to that law. Prabhupada gives the example, and we I think something happened this week. Sometimes you'll see a criminal gets on the freeway, and to escape the police, he's driving 100 plus miles an hour, right? So the police, the highway patrol, in order to catch the criminal, how fast do they have to go? They got to go as fast as him. And you cannot say, oh, highway patrol, you're supposed to go 65. You broke the... No. The state trooper, the state police, right, a highway patrol, he can go as fast as he wants. Nobody's going to give him a ticket. In fact, when he catches the criminal, oh, you're going to get a raise. You're going to get a medal. Okay? So that's the point here. That Krishna or an advanced devotee can do things which are seemingly in violation, but there's no reaction. Let's continue. Similarly, all the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna, but Krishna is not subject to material nature. Therefore, he is nirguna. This is the real meaning of nirguna. Because rascals will say, oh, nirguna means Krishna has no qualities. That's what the rascal will say. Oh, Krishna is senseless. Krishna is qualityless. Krishna has nothing. That's how they think. No. Krishna means, nirguna for Krishna means, yes, he is not under the modes of nature. Okay, more on that. Which means that these gunas or modes, although issuing from him, do not affect him. That is one of the special characteristics of Bhagavan, everyone say, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Lord Brahma was praying to Krishna, after Krishna bewildered Brahma, remember the story? Brahma tried to bewilder Krishna, but Krishna bewildered Brahma. So when Brahma offered his prayers, one of the prayers that Brahma said, he mentioned this nirguna and explained it. He said, yes, you're nirguna, meaning you don't have any mundane qualities, but you have all spiritual qualities. As I've said before, if Krishna didn't have any spiritual qualities, then why would Radharani be mad after him? If Krishna didn't have any spiritual qualities, then why are all the residents of Vrindavan constantly talking about him, describing him, serving him, thinking of him? It's because he's full of transcendental. We're studying in Nectar Devotion. How many transcendental qualities of Krishna? 60. That's just a sampling. He actually has achintya guna sarupam. He has inconceivable ananta, unlimited. Rupa Goswami is just pointing out the chief main ones. But Krishna is unlimited. Therefore, one of his names, ananta, everyone say. So he has unlimited spiritual qualities. That's how he's nirguna. Not that he doesn't have any qualities. Nirguna means no material qualities. This is a very important point, because the rascal will say, oh, God is nirguna, no qualities. No, that's the Mayavad impersonal. No, he's full of transcendental qualities. And transcendental qualities means anti-material, spiritual. Yes. Now we go to text 13. He's going to continue on this theme of the modes of nature. Tribir gunamayar bhavayar Ebi sarvam idang jagat Mohitang nabi janati Mam ebya param avyayam Tribi, three, gunamayai, consisting of the gunas. So, in terms of the material world, another definition of guna is rope. Rope. That's how we become bound up. When you become under the influence of the modes, it's like being tied up. Just like Yashoda and Damodar. She tried to tie him up, didn't she? But what did she find out? Can't tie him up. Bring on all the rope. Still two fingers too short. Krishna was proving there, hey, I'm nirguna. No rope can tie me. Therefore, what did the song say? Bhakti badham. He's tied by what? Bhakti, devotion. Not by some rope. It is only the ropes of Yashoda's pure love that ties up Krishna, not the rope. That was the whole purpose. She brought rope after rope after rope, couldn't tie him. So Krishna was showing us through Yashoda, I'm nirguna, can't tie me up. Ha, bhakti badham. But if you have strong, tivrena, strong devotion, then you can tie up Krishna. Okay, let's see. Okay, next word. Bhavai. By the states of being. Abhi. All these. Sarvam. Whole. Idam. This. Jagat. Universe. Mohitam. Deluded. Na abhijanati. Does not know. Mam, me, Abhya, above these. Param, the supreme. Avyayam, inexhaustible. Please repeat. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me. Who am above the modes and inexhaustible. How many days did Krishna hold up Govardhan Hill? 7 days. That proves he's inexhaustible. That's just one example. So here's this verse is why we can't see God. Sometimes you'll get that question. Oh, I'll believe in God when he reveals himself to me, or when you show me, have you seen God? Here's why we can't see God. We can't see God because we are under the modes of material nature. You become free from the modes of material nature, now you can see God. That's the problem. We are conditioned by these modes of nature, and to the extent that we are conditioned by the modes of nature, we're not going to be able to see God. And God is everywhere. He's everywhere. He's localized. He's in your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart. And he's also in Goloka Vrindavan. Not that he's in our hearts and he's vacant in the spirit. No, he's there. So he's everywhere. But how many times have you seen Krishna in your heart? Huh? Do you look in the mirror? Do you see Krishna in your heart? You haven't seen. Because you're covered, we're covered by the modes of nature. Until we're free from the covering of these modes of nature, you're not going to see. Purport. The whole world is enchanted by the three modes of material nature. Those who are bewildered by these three modes cannot understand that transcendental to this material nature is the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Every living entity under the influence of material nature has a particular type of body and a particular type of psychological and biological activities accordingly. There are four classes of men functioning in the three modes of material nature. Krishna mentioned this in chapter 4, Chaturvarnyam Mayasustam Guna Karma Vibhagasha, that these Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, this system was created by me. So Prabhupada is now picking up on that concept. Those who are purely in the mode of goodness are called Brahmanas. Those who are purely in the mode of passion are called Kshatriyas. Those who are in the modes of both passion and ignorance are called Vaishyas. Those who are completely in ignorance are called Shudras. And those who are less than that are animals or animal life. However, these designations are not permanent. I may either be a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or whatever. In any case, this life is temporary. But although life is temporary, and we do not know what we are going to be in the next life, by the spell of this illusory energy, we consider ourselves in terms of this bodily conception of life, and we thus think that we are American, Indian, Russian, or Brahmana, Hindu, Muslim, etc. If we become entangled with the modes of material nature, then we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is behind all these modes. So Lord Krishna says that living entities deluded by these three modes of nature do not understand that behind the material background is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many different kinds of living entities, human beings, demigods, animals, etc. And each and every one of them is under the influence of material nature. So even the demigods are under the influence of the modes of nature. And all of them have forgotten the transcendent personality of Godhead. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, and even those who are in the mode of goodness, cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth. They are bewildered before the Supreme Lord in his personal feature, which possesses all beauty, opulence, knowledge, strength, fame, and renunciation. When even those who are in goodness cannot understand, what hope is there for those in passion and ignorance? Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these three modes of material nature, and those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. And that is, you will see this theme repeated both by Krishna and by Prabhupada throughout this Bhagavad Gita. At least three direct references, chapter 8, chapter 11, chapter 18. How is Krishna revealed? How does one know Krishna? How can one see Krishna? Bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. No other way. I'm sorry. That's not what the Bhagavad Gita says. And repeatedly throughout Prabhupada's purport, he's simply reiterating what Krishna says. It is only by undivided devotional service. Only. So this is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita. to come to the point of rendering this pure, unalloyed devotional service. That is what it means to surrender. It means to be engaged in bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And now we get to one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. And it ties in completely with Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Because it's basically going to say the same thing, only from a different angle of vision. So just like Kamlesh's favorite verse is 18:66, this is one of my favorite verses. Please repeat. Daivi hiyesha gunamayi. Mama maya duratyaya. Mam evaye prapadyante. Mayam etam tarantite. This, I recommend, is one verse you should definitely memorize. Daivi, transcendental. He, certainly. Esha, this. Guna mayi, consisting of the three modes of material nature. Mama, my. Maya, energy. Duratyaya, very difficult to overcome. So that's important. Don't think that this material energy is a snap or a breeze. This verse is reminding you, very difficult to overcome. Next word. Mam, unto me. Eva, certainly. Ye, those who. Prapadyante, surrender. There it is. Same thing as Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Surrender. Same thing. Mayam etam. This illusory energy. Taranti. Overcome. Te. They. So you all know I've said millions of times that song. Bhajahure mana srinandanandana. Abhaya charanara vindare durlabha manava janama satsange taraha ebhava sindhure. So that's Bengali. Taraha ebhava sindhure, that's Bengali. Here Krishna is saying mayam etam tarantite in Sanskrit. Same thing. Same exact thing. Material energy, how can you overcome it? Huh? Only by surrender. Surrender, surrender. Please repeat the translation. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So, those who have surrendered, those are called devotees. Here is another way, another slant. Kapila Dev, when he's instructing his mother, Devahuti, he says that as you do bhakti, the modes of nature act less stringently on you. The more sinful you are, the modes become tighter and tighter and tighter. Take a look. When you become an animal, you don't have as much facility and freedom as you do in the human form. You're very limited. Look at a dog. A dog, what kind of words can it say? Ho, ho. That's its vocabulary. But as a human being, you can learn so many different languages. Because the modes of nature are acting less on a human being than a dog. So, the more you become situated in goodness and devotee life, you get more facility, you get less stringent, demigods. The demigod's life, demigods are primarily taking birth in the mode of goodness. Human beings, primarily, more or less, passion. So demigods, because those bodies are more subtle and of a different mode of nature, they can do amazing things that human beings wish they could do. For instance, right? Brihaspati. When Indra was puffed up, Brihaspati said, oh, my disciple Indra. So Brihaspati became invisible. Can you become invisible? Yes, Praveena can lock herself in the room, but eventually Daddy will knock down the door. Come! She cannot become invisible. Demigods can become invisible because they have different kinds. Prabhupada says, Lord Brahma, his body is mostly made of intelligence. Pretty good. Mostly intelligence. Right? Agni's body, huh? Fire, sun god. So different kinds of material bodies. But because they are in a superior mode of nature, then they have more facility. But the more you become sinful, or the more you become less Krishna conscious, your body becomes grosser and grosser and grosser and grosser and grosser. So, Kapila Dev said that as you perform devotional service, the modes of nature act less on you. So, we also studied in our, and we say it every time we have Nectar of Devotion class, right? The six characteristics of pure devotional service. It immediately relieves you from all material distress. So, if you're fried, if you're miserable, then just do bhakti. That's all. Simple. Start doing bhakti. Start chanting. Start reading Bhagavad Gita. And before long, you will feel some relief. It's very simple. It's axiomatic. Let's look at the purport. This is a nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of his energy and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. That's very simple. You take any kind of intoxication, then you become what they say, you're under the influence. The policeman, when he stops a driver on New Year's Eve, sir, have you been drinking? Right? He can smell it from the person's breath. Or maybe you've seen those commercials where the policeman comes and he opens the door and all the liquor comes out of the guy's car door. Have you seen that? Right? So that's true. That is, when you become under the influence of the modes of nature, right, your superior power becomes covered. Anyone who's intoxicated, they can't even walk a straight line. That's one of the things the policeman does. All right, come out of the car, walk the straight line. But the guy can't even walk a straight line, and sometimes he just falls down. Then the policeman knows, okay, come with me. You cannot drive home. You cannot walk a straight line. He's so intoxicated. His superior power, the guy can't even speak a plain sentence. He sounds like a president we once had. Somebody who's under the influence. Yes, people, because I know before becoming a devotee, before I was a devotee, I would play music in a bar in Greenwich Village. So there'd be some people, my show would start at 7 and I'd be there till like 1 o'clock in the morning. And there'd be a few people from 7 o'clock at the bar till 1 p.m. or 1 a.m. at the bar. So by the end of the night, the guy had, you know, the bar owner had to throw them out. They're so intoxicated, they've gone deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the mode of tamogun, ignorance. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal, superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Baddha, or eternally conditioned. And this is nicely explained in Krishna book in the nice chapter called Prayers by the Personified Vedas. This Nitya Baddha and Nitya Mukta is nicely explained there. It's a very nice section. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Baddha, or eternally conditioned. Now Prabhupada's going to explain that. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Because you get this question all the time. Oh, when did it start for me? No, you're not going to be able to trace it out. Okay? So don't even worry about it. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. Even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will. So whose Supreme Will? Krishna's. Very good. Which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. That's an important, because someone may become confused and say, hey, wait a second, why are you speaking so much about the material nature? This verse said this divine energy, so I like the material energy, it's divine. Now that's why you need the purport. Prabhupada just explained, yes, it's divine because it's being conducted by the divine will. It's not so divine for you and me. Is it divine when you touch fire? Is that divine? Is it divine when the dentist takes out all your teeth? Is that so divine? Is it divine when you got cancer? Oh, it's real divine then. Is it divine when you have a cardiac arrest? Oh, it's not so divine then, is it? Yes. For us, the material nature is not so divine. We'd like to think it was, but it's not so divine. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. Yes. When the earthquake came and knocked down your wall, wasn't so divine, was it? Yes. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritim vidyang, mayinam tu maheshram. Just like a few months ago, they had all these fires real close by in your Belinda, huh? And I was talking, what was that? Narendra Shah said that he came real close. And I think his daughter or son, his, there was some problem. Anyway, some people, right, those fires, they lost their house or the house got damaged. And then what came right after that? Rain. And then there was all this mud damage. Wasn't so divine, was it? Yes. Okay, the Vedas confirm this. Although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. And that's from the Upanishad. Here it is. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. So that's the spiritual master. The spiritual master is that person who is not bound. So when you select the spiritual master, that's what you're looking for. Is he a conditioned soul like me? Or is he a liberated soul? Very simple. Very simple. The bound cannot help the bound. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. That's what we're saying when we chant Hare Krishna. Some people, so many times, why do you chant? Here's why we chant. We're asking Krishna to release us from imprisonment. What is the meaning of the Maha Mantra? O energy of the Lord, O Lord, engage me in your service. They're synonymous. I've been saying that all night long. They are synonymous. There is no in-between state. I want to be liberated, but I don't want to do any service. Doesn't work that way. You want to become free? Then you have to enlist in Krishna's army. Krishna's army is known as devotees. That's Krishna's army. Surrender means to be engaged in Krishna's service. Or nimitta matram. What did the universal form tell Arjuna? I want you to be an instrument. That's what it means to surrender. To become Krishna's instrument. To do Krishna's work. Krishna's work is devotional service. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we're calling out Radharani, Krishna, please give me some service, because by that service, I'll become free from this material entanglement. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. In other words, you only have two choices. Are you going to be in Maya's service or Krishna's service? That's it. You only get two choices. There's no in-between. No, I don't like Maya, but I don't like Krishna. Isn't there a third choice? No. It's either Maya. Okay. Is there a choice between light and darkness? No. That's all you get. You're either in light or you're in darkness. That's it. There's no third state. So, Prabhupada's masthead on Back to Godhead, which is taken from a verse of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Wherever there is Godhead, there is light, right? And Maya is darkness. Wherever there is Godhead, there's no Maya. So, Tamasima Jyotirgama, come out of the darkness and into the light. So, take your choice. Do you want to stay in darkness? Go to Las Vegas. Go ahead. Stay in darkness. You want to come to the light? Come to Kundanloka. Come next week to Kamlesh Patel. Come on Ekadasi March 7th to Krishna Culture Center in Buena Park. Like that. Simply do devotional service, you're liberated. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Oh, did I skip something? Let's go back. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Remember, guna, ropes, we're tied up. We're tied up by these modes of nature. And the bound can't help the bound. Right? Have you ever seen somebody in a straitjacket? Unless you're Houdini, he was able to get out of it. But we're not Houdini. Right? If you're tied up, you need some... I mean, there's so many movies, right? The girl, the guy is tied up by the chair, and then the hero comes and, you know... That's the guru. He comes and rescues you. Can't do it yourself. You're tied up. Can't do it yourself. Okay, therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. Oh, yes. Krishna, please order. Please, right now. Order on me. Yes, please. I would love to get free from the insurmountable material energy right now. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. You have to be a surrendered soul. You have to surrender. Out of his paternal affection for the living entity. Yes, later on in chapter 14, Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So everyone has this. That's why in many religions, God the Father. And that's true. It's right there in Bhagavad Gita. God the Father. Krishna is the Father of all. It's not a euphemism. It's true. He is the seed-giving Father of all living entities. Okay, he orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Ha! Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. What was that word? Surrender. The Prabhupada and purport continues. The words mam eva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna or Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajaguna passion and Tamaguna ignorance to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. And some people, when they read that, close the book and say, I don't want to hear no more of this. Some people. Not you. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas confirm this in the phrase, Tam Eva Viditva. Freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Huh. Shiva knows because he's a great devotee. He's not going to pretend to be something that he's not. So that's why this is very significant. That's why Prabhupada put it in here, because he knows some people are going to flip out. So he just said, well, guess what? Even Lord Shiva says liberation can only be achieved by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnur evana sangshaya. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. And that ends this very important verse of Bhagavad Gita. Yes, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is very heavy, very strong, but it's nectar. Yes, Prabhu? If they worship Lord Shiva and pray to him that, please, I want to be a good devotee like you, that is wonderful. You will see in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva instructs the prachetas and teaches them how to worship Krishna. And we do know that Lord Shiva even has his own sampradaya, Vaishnava sampradaya, called the Rudra sampradaya. So if people actually follow what Lord Shiva himself says, like here, that yes, you can follow the teachings of Lord Shiva and pray to him, let me become a better devotee. Yes. Yes. But you got to understand the context. When Krishna condemns demigod worship, it's on the basis of their approaching the demigods for material benefits. That's what. Or they're worshiping demigods with the thinking that all the demigods are equal and independent to Krishna. Okay? That's why it's condemned in the Bhagavad Gita. But this, just as the gopis worship Katyayani. But Katyayani is a form of Durga. But what was their prayer? I want Krishna to be my husband. And Prabhupada specifically makes the point. Here it's okay, because they're not praying to the demigods for some material benefit. Rukmini also, the day that she was to marry Shishupal, she had to go to the Durga temple. She also prayed to Ambika or Durga, Amba Mata, please see to it that Krishna rescues me. And as soon as she came out, who was on the chariot? Krishna. So yes, the condemnation of demigod worship is when it is for material things or when it's with the understanding that all the gods are the same. Other than that, no problem. Okay? Brahma is the head of our sampradaya. He's right there. After Krishna, if you look in Prabhupada's Gita, after Krishna, it's Lord Brahma. We're known as the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So one has to understand the context. Does that satisfy you? Yes. Of course, you will see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya also offered obeisances to the Shiva deity. There were some temples Lord Chaitanya visited and offered his obeisances to the deity of Lord Shiva. How? Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. With the under, not that he's the supreme. Lord Chaitanya is not going to become confused. Lord Chaitanya was a Krishna fanatic. But he could understand, and with the intention, this is Lord Shiva, the great devotee. When I go to Radharaman temple, and Kakani can tell you before every class, I say the prayers, I acknowledge Ganesh, Hanuman, Durga, Shiva, but I'm chanting the prayers from the Brahma Sanhita. I'm offering my respect, but under the correct understanding. We'll leave it at that. Let us chant one little yes. Maya is so powerful that, yes, there is the story in the third canto, Brahma chasing after his own daughter. Is that Maya? Thank you. Lord Shiva, right? Who is his consort? Yeah, who is she? She's the material energy. Okay? He has to be with her. He's under the influence. Okay? Clear enough? Yes. Wait, I want to finish up. You will find in the sixth canto a very nice statement by Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya says, here's another Maya for both Brahma and Shiva, but it's very subtle. Their Maya is, they are so powerful that almost, like I think it was even mentioned here, they are almost on the same level as Vishnu. Therefore, they can start to think, you know, I'm pretty up there. That prevents them from actually understanding Krishna properly. That conception that there is some almost equality. After all, didn't we study in Nectar of Devotion, Lord Shiva has 84-85%. He has 55 of the 64 qualities. Nobody's closer to him. Like, whereas here's Vishnu, and he's like, right there. So Madhvacharya points out that these persons, Brahma and Shiva, are so powerful that there is sometimes this conception that they are separate and independent from Krishna. And that prevents them from actually appreciating Krishna properly. Okay? Yeah, Brahma was thinking, who's this 5-year-old? You know, what's this? Yeah, but he learned. And then Brahma took birth as what? Haridas Thakur. And got the mercy. All right. Okay, we can do one round, but one little short. Thank you, Krishna Kumar. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama.
Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yes, sir.
While you're coming in the car, I imagine we were asking, how come Haridas Thakur has to take a bath in a Muslim family? He was a part of
that. Yes, that was Lord Chaitanya's design. Just as Ramananda, we're studying, Ramananda Roy was born Shudra. Rupa and Sanatan were ostracized from the Brahminical society. So Lord Chaitanya did this to show all those who think, oh, I am Brahman, I'm the... Hey, it doesn't mean anything. Lord Chaitanya is taking a Muslim and showing the whole universe. He may be a Muslim, but his chanting is delivering the whole world. He's Namacharya. Don't judge by the external material position. Judge by their devotion to Krishna. Ramananda Roy was considered Shudra, yet Lord Chaitanya was learning from him. Lord Chaitanya was a Brahmin sannyasi. Where do we see in strict Vedic culture that the sannyasi is going to learn from a Shudra? So Lord Chaitanya did all this just to show everybody, hey, this is Kali Yuga. Forget about the material position. The only that, and that was what we learned last Sunday. Kiba vipra kiba nase sudra kene noi. Ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. So we don't consider the material position. I even mentioned last Sunday. Matuk was there, Kakaniji was there. Materially, we heard today, I'm not even a sudra. I'm a lecha yavana. So that's below ignorance. Sudra is ignorant. I'm below ignorant. Right? So why is Batuk and Kakani coming to hear my class at Radharaman? Because they know, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy. Doesn't matter my material position. What matters is knowledge of the science of Krishna. Haridas Thakur was born a Muslim, yes, but he was Ye Krishna Tattva Veta. He knew the science of Krishna. His chanting of 300,000 names a day was delivering the whole universe. When Haridas Thakur died, Lord Chaitanya took his dead body in his arms and danced with it. And Lord Chaitanya said, the world is now bereft of this great Vaishnava. Right? Does that answer your question? Kakanaji, I would like you to lead the japa class. Can you get in front of the microphone? Yes, Nimai Chiran. I preach like that, but I'm not going to hold any hard and fast rule. I do that, but don't get caught up on this. Okay? Because it's going to get into a whole big thing of semantics, and I don't want to go there. If you want to chant Hare Rama, chant Hare Rama. I ain't going there. I'm not going there. Thank you. Kakanaji, please. And can you give a little pep talk?
Yes. I think before we start, we should chant the Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So basically that if you make any mistake in chanting, so Krishna can forgive us. And at the same time, we should chant, not loudly, but at least at the same time that you can hear yourself and your neighbors can also hear. So
Jai.
So people also get benefited from this one.
Jai.
So let's start this one. Did we get it? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Sri Advaita Gadadhar
Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Rama Hare Hare.
Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Hare Ram, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Hare Ram, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama
Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.